pray and then we'll begin. Father, we praise and thank you that we could gather around your word. Thank you that you spoke and you speak today through it. Help us to hear you. Help us to listen carefully. Help us to take into our hearts what it is you're saying. And by the work of your Spirit, teach us, correct us, rebuke us, and train us in righteousness, that we might be thoroughly equipped for every work in service of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, how are you getting on with the slog of the pandemic? One of the newspapers this week had an article and it said this: it just goes on and on, doesn't it? Despite the millions of vaccinations and Boris Johnson's roadmap for easing the lockdown, this pandemic is feeling increasingly like an endurance test, a marathon followed by another marathon followed by another. How are you getting on with the marathon? Keeping going in the slog of the pandemic is a bit like a long distance race, isn't it? And that long distance race image is a great illustration, and the feeling of the slog of the pandemic is a great illustration for the Christian life. Not that it ends with a nasty disease and things like that, but that it can be quite hard to keep going. And so for us who believe in Jesus, it's not just how will I survive the pandemic, it's how will I keep going through all my life trusting Jesus. And the techniques that help us to run the race of the Christian life could also help us just in these times of boredom and difficulty in the pandemic. This passage we're looking at today is one of the Bible's greats. It really is what they call a purple passage. And in your discipleship as a follower of Jesus, it's a must know. If you haven't come across this before, read it now, read it again, and keep reading. Take it home. Learn it off by heart. It's worth knowing off by heart so that you can say it to yourself in the shower or wherever, when you're walking down the street, as you're driving your car. It's such an important, such a great passage. If you're an inquirer looking into the Christian faith, then this passage can help you think about some of the costs and benefits of being a Christian. What's it like to actually be a Christian from day to day? Because living as a Christian is a long race. We begin in our new birth with Jesus, whenever you became a Christian, and it goes all the way through your life to when you die, or when the Lord Jesus returns, if he returns while you're still alive. And there's a danger of verse 3 happening, the end of verse 3, us growing weary and losing heart. Or, back in the words of the end of chapter 10, we could end up belonging to those who shrink back and are destroyed, instead of those who have faith and are saved. Why is that? Well, it's because the Christian life involves opposition. Not everybody likes the fact that you trust in Jesus. Temptation. All around us are things that we could do that are against what the Lord's will is. And our frailty, just simple human frailty. Sometimes it's hard to keep going because we're human. And today we're going to get help from our Lord Jesus Christ to help us to persevere and to run through those walls, as it were, in our marathon race of living for Jesus. And first of all, we're going to meet Jesus' team. Thank you, Dominic. Jesus' team in verse 1. And what a great team it is. Therefore, referring back to what we've seen in the last couple of weeks, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, as we turn to Jesus, we join a family that's a huge family. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is in this family. He's in the team. But alongside him in the team are lots of others, this great cloud of witnesses. Now, what are these witnesses doing? They are proving for us that faith in Jesus and God and his promises, faith works. Faith is worth it. And they're proving it to us. They're not witnesses like sort of spectators watching us run. Instead, they're witnesses like in a court. They're giving evidence. They watch us and give evidence to us. They say, hey, keep running, it works, as we run the race of trusting in Jesus. And faith is, from 12 verse, from 11 verse 1, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And these people are a great cloud of witnesses giving evidence. All the people we heard about in chapter 11, and any other person we hear about who's trusted in the Lord Jesus in his life, and we hear their testimony, we hear their evidence. They're a witness to us. So we're first of all, we're on Jesus' team as we run this race. Now, what would that team tell us about keeping running? Well, to keep running the marathon race of faith in Jesus, you need, first of all, Jesus-transformed priorities. Thank you, Dom. Jesus-transformed priorities. That is, your priorities in life need to be turned around by your faith in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. What you think is important, what you think is not so important, what you spend your time on, or what you don't spend your time on. Turn around by Jesus, and that will help you to run. So have a look at verse 12. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Now, I've got a bag here. And here I've got one of my running shoes. You see that at home? Yeah, it's one of my running shoes. And one of my walking shoes. Now, that is great for a walk around the park or somewhere slightly more energetic for a walk, isn't it? Nice and strong, solid, keeps the water out, things like that. But when I go running, I don't wear that, do I? It's too heavy, it's too clumpy. I wear that. It's nice and light, it's got a special wedge sole, blah, blah, blah. That one would hinder me and slow me down. That one helps me go faster. So I throw that one off and keep this one on. And that's all he's saying. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Here he's not talking about sin. He's talking about stuff in life that may be good, you know, in and of itself, but would hinder us in our race following Jesus through all the temptations, opposition and frailty of life. So Jesus is Lord means that we drop some things in our lives because actually they're not helping us or they're getting in our way. They're slowing us down. If it helps to live for Jesus, keep it at the top of your priorities. If it slows you down, get rid of it. So, for example, a couple of made-up people, made-up names. Arthur. Arthur loves 10-pin bowling. Arthur would be out 10-pin bowling every night of the week if coronavirus would let him. But when it's normal times, he doesn't go out 10-pin bowling every night of the week because he believes in Jesus. And some of those nights of the week, he spends with his fellow Christians at a growth group because he knows that will help him to follow Jesus. So he drops that obsession with 10-pin bowling for a moment or two so he can be helped to trust in Jesus. And then there's Brenda. Brenda's a teacher. She's a fantastic teacher, actually, head of department. And she's a believer. There was a job for a head teacher going. She decided she wouldn't go for that job because at the moment she finds the stresses and strains enough as it is. And she knew that if she took that on, that might have a real serious impact on her walk with Jesus. Hard decision, but the right one for Brenda at that time. Jesus transformed priorities. Now, what's one sure way of making sure you grow weary and lose heart? Keeping the world's priorities. Holding on to stuff that hinders you in walking with Jesus. In running the marathon race of faith in Jesus, we need Jesus-transformed priorities. We also need Jesus-enabled holiness. Jesus-enabled holiness. Thanks, Don. Also, in verse 1. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Because of Jesus, we are able to throw off sin. We'll be able to say no to things that before we were just enslaved to. Now, I've also got another running thing in this bag. I love these. These are my running shorts. Sorry about that, folks. There we go. Hide them away again. No, these are my running shorts. Now, imagine they were three times bigger. Imagine they're out here. And I put them on to run. What would happen? They'd fall down around my ankles, wouldn't they? I'd look slightly strange because, well, I won't say any more. But anyway, don't think about it. If they were bigger and they didn't fit, they'd go around my ankles and I'd fall over. It'd be useless. I need to get the right running shorts that fit. And sin is like that in our Christian lives. Therefore, he says, throw off the sin that so easily entangles. Sin is like a too big pair of running shorts that gets around our ankles and makes us fall over in the Christian life. Think about it. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Well, in Hebrews we're told, chapter 9, verse 28, Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. Isn't that brilliant? That's why Jesus died. He died for us, to take away our sins. Sins are anything in our life that is against what God has said is good. And we're very good at going against what God has said is good, aren't we? Unfortunately, it's instinctive almost as a human. But having put our faith in Jesus, he's died to take away those sins. He's given us the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, living with us to help us and prompt us fight those sins. And so, with Jesus-enabled holiness, we can run the race. So, for example, Charlotte, made up name, made up person, Charlotte's a believer. And Charlotte struggles with gambling. In her past, she's had a really big gambling problem. But she shared that with her growth group, and they're praying with her about it. And she started with a support group to help her through this problem with addiction with gambling. Charlotte's taking action because she knows that gambling will just take her away from Jesus. Danny knows that he's got a problem with anger. He can get angry really quickly. But since he's come to Christ, he's known God's help and his forgiveness in his life. So he's much better at being able to forgive other people in the things that he thinks he wants to get angry about. And he knows the Spirit helping him as he prays for them to change that. He's much less angry now than he used to be. Because if he kept being angry, that would stop him in his Christian life and take him away from Jesus. He wouldn't be running the race anymore. Brothers and sisters, what's one way of making sure that we grow weary and lose heart? Holding on to sin, playing with it, not being serious about casting it away, not seeking holiness. So, how do we keep running the marathon race of faith in Jesus? We need Jesus-transformed priorities, Jesus-enabled holiness, and Jesus-modelled perseverance mixed with Jesus-fixed vision. Thank you, Donick. Jesus-modelled perseverance mixed with Jesus-fixed vision. I had to stick these two together. So, Jesus-modelled perseverance. We've got our clothing right. We're wearing the right shoes and the right shorts. But let's carry on. Let us, verse 12, run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. See, as we run this marathon race, it's a long race, our life from new birth to Jesus' return or our death, whichever happens first. We need perseverance. We need to keep going through the tough things, and we need to face them and endure. And we, to help us do that, and while we do that, we need our eyes ahead. If you're running and you start doing this, you fall over. So we keep our eyes fixed straight ahead, and what we see at the finishing line, a long, long way, as it were, is the Lord Jesus. And we keep our eyes fixed on him. So Jesus-modelled perseverance and Jesus-fixed vision. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So Jesus is always in our sights, and Jesus is our model for persevering. Excuse me. How is Jesus a model for perseverance? Thank you, Dominic. How is Jesus a model for perseverance? Well, here is a wonderful verse in the midst of a wonderful little passage. His love and determination have seen us rescued. And here we see from his love and determination his faith, endurance, victory, and joy. Faith, endurance, victory, and joy. We see Jesus' faith. Thank you, Dominic. Jesus' faith, 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Now, you might think, isn't that just a bit weird? Jesus having to have faith? Isn't he the Son of God? Why does he need to have faith? Well, think of the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane was the night before Jesus' crucifixion, where he went to pray with his disciples before he was arrested. He was arrested in the garden. And it was a difficult time for him. What was his hope there that evening before the crucifixion? What was his hope? His hope was something in the future. His hope was that the cross would work, that his death would be the sacrifice that is needed for sin, and that the resurrection would come on the third day, as the scripture said, and as he and his Father and the Spirit had already arranged. That was his hope. For him it was a hope still, a sure hope, but still a hope, still in the future, still not in his hand, as it were. What was invisible for Jesus? Because remember, when we're talking about faith, we're talking about confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. What was invisible for Jesus? His Heavenly Father was invisible. And when he was on earth, he prayed to his Heavenly Father, but didn't see him in the way that we don't see him. The outcome of what he was doing was invisible at that stage for the Lord Jesus. He needed faith. He needed to be confident in what he hoped for and assured about what he did not see. And he was perfectly. And so for us, he is the originator of faith, the author, the pioneer. We see him leading the way for us in this race we're on in faith. Faith in Jesus, faith in what he has promised. And he's the perfecter of faith as well. Because as we watch him trusting in what his Father has promised for him, he's perfect in it. And it's wonderful. So Jesus models this race, this perseverance for us with his faith. And with his endurance. Thank you, Dominic. With his endurance. Chapter 12, verse 2 again. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So from Gethsemane, they went to Judas's betrayal, Peter's denial, a fake trial, being flogged, nailed to the cross, hanging there for hours in agony, and then dying. And Jesus took it all. He endured it. The commentator, F.F. Bruce, comments that Jesus' faith, in fact, was mocked on the cross even. He had to endure that. So Matthew 27, in the same way, this is Matthew 27, 41. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God, they said. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. And Jesus stayed on the cross. They mocked his faith. He trusts in God, they said. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He endured the cross. So how does he model perseverance? By showing us what endurance looks like, brothers and sisters. He kept running. He did it for you and me on the cross. How does he model perseverance? His faith, his endurance, and then his victory. His victory. Thank you, Dominic. 12 verse 2 again. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is victory, sitting down at God's right hand, at God's throne. He kept going through his death to the finish line, where he's won the victory of defeat of sin and death for us, on our behalf. And Hebrews is full of Jesus sitting down. Have a look through again and that victory. And what was it all for? What was it all for? Another way he models perseverance for us. The point of his victory is that we also will share in that victory. So as we run the race and endure and persevere, we look at Jesus with his victory and know that that is for us and we will enjoy it one day. What's it all for? The fourth thing of his perseverance, modelling that. Jesus' joy. Jesus' joy. Thank you, Dominic. Jesus' joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus' joy was to see lost sinners found and saved. To see heaven populated with people who trusted in him. We're going to see in Hebrews chapter 12, 22, that we in Jesus have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. It's a wonderful place, heaven, the kingdom of God, where Jesus reigns. And we read about it in the book of Revelation, where the 24 elders singing to Jesus. You are worthy, they say, to take the scroll and open its seals, because you are slain. And with your blood you purchased from God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they reign on the earth. There's great joy in heaven, because then the angels join in a loud voice they sing, worthy is the Lamb, Jesus, the Lamb of God, the great sacrifice for us. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise. They're singing their hearts out. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now that joy can motivate us too, can't it? To keep running for this perseverance. Excuse me, Mo. So what do? As we run, we fix our eyes on Jesus. Yes? We fix our eyes on Jesus. Thank you, Dominic. He models faith and perseverance for us. He shows us how to keep going. And he's finished the race, won the victory, provided salvation. So imagine for a moment, a couple of people. Imagine Eden. He makes a big effort. He makes a big effort to set aside every morning 10 minutes where he can read the Bible and pray so that he can once again glue his eyes to Jesus that day. Keep Jesus as his Lord and Saviour and remember that he is, and start his day that way so that hopefully he can carry on through the day. That's what Eden does. And then there's Franny. Franny loves the Lord, and life for her is a bit of a slog because Franny's never been able to have children. But because she can see Jesus and how he kept going, she has committed to serve in love her church, her community, and people at her work. And she has great joy in doing that. Jesus modelled perseverance, and Jesus fixed vision. Help us to keep running that marathon race of faith in Jesus. Thank you, Dom. So far we've had Jesus transformed priorities, Jesus enabled holiness, and Jesus modelled perseverance, and Jesus fixed vision. There's one more thing in verse 3, and that is Jesus motivated energy. Thank you, Dom. Jesus motivated energy. What is one way for us to grow weary and lose heart? Brothers and sisters, it is to lose sight of Jesus. To lose sight of his love and his life, his faith, his endurance, his victory, his joy. Lose sight of it and we will stop running. We'll grow weary and lose heart. On the other hand, if we, verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, we will not grow weary and lose heart. It's energizing to consider Jesus and think of him. So, for example, Greg's a Christian, he's in his 20s, or he was, on his deathbed from cancer. His vicar was crying, and he said to his vicar, "Vicar, it's okay, I'm going to see Jesus." Hannah. She sits in her car driving to school every day and she sings her favourite hymn to remind her that whatever happens that day, Jesus reigns. Consider Jesus. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Thanks, Dom. Well, how do we keep going? How do we keep going in the pandemic? But more importantly, in the Christian life. This is not the moment to go, thank you very much, David. Now, what have I got for dinner? No, this is the moment to think, what can I take away with me? Maybe there's one thing you can take. Have a think. One thing. One change to make in your walk with Jesus. You're running the race. Is it something that hinders that you can throw off? If it's some sin that you need to deal with so it doesn't entangle. Is there something about Jesus' perseverance that has inspired you and helps you to see how to keep going? Is there a way that you can think of fixing your eyes on Jesus more every day? Is there something you need to do so that you consider him who endured such opposition? Kit yourself out with, thanks, Dom, Jesus transformed priorities. Jesus enabled holiness. Jesus modelled perseverance. Jesus fixed vision. Jesus motivated energy. Let's pray. Why don't we, in the silence, just bring that one thing that we're going to change to the Lord in our hearts. Amen.